The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Let's be real with each other. We can give each other that respect, right? As the nation moves from total unity over condemnation of the death of George Floyd to total disruption, literal fires burning in our streets, we can talk and be real. This isn't Twitter. We don't have to look for likes and talk past each other. We don't have to try to be popular. We can ask ourselves, is out of these disruptions and out of these riots and out of these conversations, is there a productive step forward or is it a step back? We can find out by starting now and being real with each other. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Today, on the Will Cain Show, we will be where everybody already is. We will be where the nation's mindset is. But we will do it the way we always do it, together. You can call that phone line and talk with me. My guests will come in here, and we will have the kind of conversations that rarely happen in other places in the media. You know, I struggled over the last 3 to 4 days. I was tuned in like everybody else, to an unhealthy manner, to the riots in the streets of America. I was tuned into news channels from sunup to sundown. I gave myself brief moments of breaks, shooting hoops with my sons or taking a walk with my wife. But they were brief because my mindset was where yours is, always back to what is happening in America. And I struggled and I asked myself, you know, you have a platform, you have an audience. Should you tweet? Should you say something? What should you say? And I watched after sports figure and media personality after media personality posted their thoughts on what's happening in America. And the entire thing felt to me like a room with everyone screaming. On some occasions, in some places, screaming, productive, healthy, perhaps even virtuous sentiments. In others, just screams flying past each other. And I thought, it's not a room I need to be in right now. The room I need to be in is this one, right here with you, for the next 3 hours, talking things out. And, as we always try to do, being real with each other. To me, it's the only way forward, the only possible path to a productive solution. The only way we don't end up right back here, where we have, year after year and decade after decade, whether it was the 1960s or the 1990s, whether it was 2016 or 2020. I think it's the only way. It won't come through agreement. It won't come through high fives. It will come through being real. You know what? I found more interesting conversation, more relevance in a 15 to 20 minute radio segment today than I had in a weekend of spending the unhealthy habit of scrolling through Twitter. I just tuned in to Power 105 in New York City, which is an urban radio station, which you know is a euphemism for black, hip-hop station with a morning show that is an absolute hit that stars a man named Charlemagne the God and his two co-hosts as well, who spent 20 minutes talking with conservative radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh. I found more in those 15 to 20 minutes than I did in a weekend of scrolling through college football coaches and athletes sharing their thoughts in posts on a social media platform. Because that's where solutions will be found. That's where reality comes face to face. Let me talk to you about two realities I have as we talk about the issue of race in America, George Floyd, and the protests and riots going across our country. I want to talk to you about emotion versus facts. I want to talk to you about experience versus data. I want to talk to you about my weights and balances, checks, and changes over the last several years. Let's start with emotion. That's where everybody is, right? Let's start with personal experience. Over the last couple of years, I have come to appreciate the role of personal experience in life. I know that sounds so elementary. Will, what are you talking about? Because I think for many, that is the primary prism through which they view life. I have a fault, and I'm not trying to act like, Will, what would you say your biggest challenge is at your job? And my answer is, sometimes I'm a little bit too much of a perfectionist. I'm not trying to do one of those, here's a fault that's actually a virtue type thing. I know I can turn my emotional switch off. I know I do it probably too easily. I don't access the empathy button as often as I do the logic button. I try to reason and rationality my way through everything, and I don't fully appreciate, I could bring my wife in for the next 5 minutes to testify, that I weigh the emotional aspects of life. But I would say over the last couple of years, I have come to understand that's a reality as much as black and white numbers are. So let me talk about emotion. Whether or not it is my respected colleague, to some extent friend, Lewis Riddick, to whether it is my friends Marcus Spears or Damian Woody, or whoever else it may be that I have come to recognize as my friends here at ESPN, their personal experiences have to be heard. They have to be understood as a reality. I want to just give you a taste, okay? I don't know this man, but this is Derek Mason, the head coach at Vanderbilt. And let me just say, this is what he's describing as an aspect of his life. That means it's a reality. Is it earned? Is it right? Is it statistically backed up? We'll have that conversation in just a moment. But we have to understand, it's reality. Listen to this.
I mean, I was talking to my wife yesterday, and this is how, you know, I mean, it really hit home for me. My wife said, Derek, I'm looking at you, and I can remember your dad. My stepdad's an ex-military guy, but she said, when I first met you, he always had this lanyard around his neck, and he always had one for you. And he was on you all the time about wearing that lanyard around your neck. And here's why. He always wanted me to keep my driver's license and my registration around my neck. So if I ever got pulled over, okay, man, I would never have to reach, you know, for anything or reach in a glove compartment. And, you know, that's sort of what my conversation was about yesterday, just a little bit. It's like, okay, man, you grow up, you know, in this microcosm of okay, man, do these things and make it home safe. Okay, and that's what I was always told. Do these things and you make it home safe. And, you know, even in doing these things, you know, man, what we saw, you know, with the death of George Floyd was the idea, man, that he did things right and he didn't make it home safe. And that's scary. It's scary for a lot of parents. It's scary for, you know, young men in this country. So, man, we got to address these issues and we got to make sure we get it right.
That fear, that insecurity, that's a reality. And it's not just for Derek Mason. We know that. The streets are full of people who feel that right now in almost every city in America, big and large alike. I got a text, I think it's fair to say, from my friend Marcus Spears a couple of nights ago talking about a conversation he's hesitant but has to have with his son. Marcus talked about it today on Get Up, and he got emotional. Those are realities. That is something that has to be appreciated. Now, why? Why is that a reality? Why does Marcus feel that way? Why does Derek Mason feel that way? Now we turn to data, okay? Which is equally as important. This is where I got in trouble and have been in trouble for years when it came to the Colin Kaepernick discussion, because when I was on First Take or wherever I might be, I turned to this first, and perhaps I turned to it last as well, but I do not turn away from it either. You factor in emotion with rationality and logic. You factor in experience with data. We have to bring both to bear at the table. I've done as much as I can in research for years and then freshening up over the past couple of days on what it comes to police killings and police brutality when it comes to African Americans in the United States. The best that I can tell you when statistics are brought into play, it looks like this. African American men are not killed at a higher rate than white men, unarmed or armed, in the United States. As a gross number, more white people are killed than black people by police officers in this country. You, of course, have to adjust that for population, and you should. And when you do, what you find out is that African Americans are disproportionately killed by police officers than white people are. You then have to adjust, if you're trying to arrive at a root cause, for differing rates in crime rates. You have to even adjust for differing rates in violent crime rates. Officers gravitate to where crime is, and officers gravitate to antagonistic situations where violent crime lives. So what you have are more frequent interactions and more frequent negative interactions. But if you do look at more data from the FBI and the Washington Post, who's been compiling statistics, what you find is that per 100,000 arrests for both African Americans and white people in the United States, the statistical numbers of those that are killed by officers are roughly the same. That evens it out for population and criminality per 100,000 arrests. But that doesn't mean what Derek Mason said isn't real. That doesn't mean what Marcus Spears feels isn't real. What that means is we have to look for root causes and we have to look for root solutions to why these situations exist. How much of what we're talking about is race-based? How much is based on other factors? How much leads us to potential solutions? And only through a conversation, perhaps I get a few things wrong along the way, perhaps I don't say it the way others want, but I will say it in a way that I do believe if we can have a real conversation, we can arrive at potential productive solutions. Maybe. And that's my opening take, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. So how much? Let's explore that. How much does race play a role? What are the reasons for any disproportionalities? Let's talk about today over the next 3 hours together the role of the media in the last couple of days, and we can include myself in that as well. Let's talk about what charges Derek Chauvin, the officer that killed George Foley, should face. Let's talk about rioters versus protesters. Let's talk about coronavirus and where it suddenly went. Let's talk about all of the people suffering in this country right now. Let's talk about it in a way that's real, and maybe we can push one tiny millimeter closer to a solution. Let's talk together. 888-729-3776. Next on The Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to GEICO.com today.
Here's a question. What happened to the coronavirus? It didn't just take second seat. Coronavirus is gone. At least the way the media tells it, and it makes you wonder why it was so dominant a few days ago. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. How do we square the circle? I spent my first segment talking to you about the idea that we have to be able to factor in both data and personal experience. The data shows, through the FBI and the Washington Post, that African Americans are not killed at a greater rate by police officers than are white people in the United States of America, whether armed or unarmed. Adjusting for population and adjusting for crime rates, the rates of innocent people killed by the police officer is roughly the same, whether black or white. How do we take that and square that circle with, yes, the very real personal experiences of people who are friends of mine like Damian Woody or Marcus Spears or Louis Riddick, who will tell you about their fear and their interactions when it comes to police engagements? How do we reconcile those two things? The best I can do, the best that I can arrive at, and I'm always open to being wrong and hearing it from you at 888-729-3776, goes like this here. The data also shows that when it comes to low-level police interactions, African Americans experience that at a much greater rate than do white Americans, meaning pulled over, stop and frisk, discussed, questioned, negative and positive alike, and obviously more negative along with that, interactions with police for African Americans than white Americans. While that doesn't statistically show up as a greater rate of interactions that result in death. What they do result in is a greater number of interactions that leave a negative experience, a fearful experience, an insecure experience. I think that's what's real. I think that's how we square the circle. We can look at George Floyd, and we have, and I think it's remarkable how much unity there was, right, left, white, black, no matter who in this country, looked at what happened with George Floyd and absolutely condemned it as awful. And then we can also look at this and say, what is America like? Is America racist? Are police racist? Are things happening in this country that need to be, quote unquote, systemically changed to move forward? The best I can do is to start with that. The fact that there's more interactions and more of those interactions come away negative. The best I can say is more focus on community policing. More talking, less militarization. There will always be police presences in neighborhoods and areas where criminality is the highest. And there should be, because the job of police is to reduce criminality, to protect the innocent. What we have seen clearly is instances where the innocent are the ones that are ended up harmed. We need a greater focus on humanity. That's the best that I can do, both at an individual and a systemic level. When Derek Chauvin had his knee on the back of George Floyd, what he did is he stopped thinking of that man as a human. And truthfully, when other people say all cops are brutalizers or cops are there to terrorize black Americans, they're also dehumanizing police officers. We're in a process, a cycle, a vicious cycle of dehumanizing each other. That's what it is. Obviously, the best place to start is individually, with ourselves, me, you, and then ask that our systems adopt those same ideas. More community policing, more listening, less militarization. Yes, there are some things we can do, like sentencing reform, but we have to start with acknowledging or recognizing where the problems lie. Not telling falsehoods, not being hyperbolic, not using euphemisms, not being too broad, not doing it for us so that we look virtuous or liked, but to be real, if you want something real to come out of it. The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Watch new Shower Sessions videos now at youtube.com/progressive. Rick in Kentucky. What's up, Rick?
Will, thanks for taking my call. I haven't talked to you in quite a while.
I remember you, Rick.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, and I said I remember you.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm probably
bowling
one of
balls,
the first
right?
There you go. There you go. And I asked you politely, Will, please, back up off your whiteness just a little bit. Do you remember me saying that to you?
I think it's a promo, honestly, Rick, on our show.
Okay. This is the point I want to make to you. First of all, I want to tell you talking to. I'm a veteran. I was in the United States Navy. I was on a Navy vessel the day the Marines died. I was sitting off the coast of Beirut, okay? I served my country, all right? The point I want to make to you is I listen to your show. I like your show. I really do. I listen to your show, and it reminds me of Fox News. And the reason it does is because you have your perspective, and you speak about sport. And when you speak about sport, predominantly you're talking about black people. And a lot of the conversations you have no perspective. This is what I'm saying to you. Is that Kaepernick was touched. He was bothered about our situation. And he tried his best to figure out how he could bring some attention to a problem and do it in the most respectful way he could do it. He talked to military people and he took a knee. And this country act like he showed up in Michigan with semi-automatic weapons and challenged the authority of the people of Michigan with guns. He took a knee in pure respect for the country, the flag, but y'all are killing my people. All I want to say to you, Will Cain, is from this point on, man, all the black guys that you're friends with and you're cheering right now and talking about, hey, man, we talking stuff, instead of talking, listen. America is a very tough place for black people to live and grow up in. You have no perspective about that.
Okay.
You have let me one more thing real quick. You told a story about 8 months ago when you were out with your son at a soccer practice or something. And you said your son started crying and you disciplined him and told him, you know, hey, suck it up, suck it up. And a lady got in your business and chastised you. And you turned the conversation around and told her, stay, you know, stay in your lane. Get out, you know, stay out of my business. This is my son. I'm raising my son. That day right there, I said, Will Cain has no perspective on being black in this country. A white lady called the police on a man bird watching in Central Park. Will Cain, listen, man. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Rick. I appreciate the call. What I will say is a couple things. I do listen. I listen. Do I get what you want me to get? Do I arrive where you want me to arrive? Invariably, no. Am I going to believe everything you want me to believe? No. Am I just going to listen and not contribute? No. A conversation is two ways. Race relations are two ways. Productivity isn't listening and kneeling before each other. Productivity is exchanging ideas and arriving at a place of mutual consensus as best we can, or mutual disagreement as best we can. You're right. My perspective is my perspective, and your perspective is your perspective. Is there a black and white perspective to this country? I'm sure there is. You know what else there is? There's a Rick and Will perspective. There's 300 plus million different perspectives drawn on lines from race to creed to gender to sexuality. And the only way is not just to listen to each other, but to converse with each other on an individual level. And Rick, what I can tell you is, no matter who I remind you of, you keep listening to me, because I think you know in the end, I am doing my best. Is the media? I know I'm in the media. What about everybody else? What about the institution? What about what they're talking about? Let's talk about that next on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
You know, one of the reasons I like talking to a guy like Rick from Kentucky, or my friend Damian Woody here at ESPN, is because people want to give you their story. They don't want to give you reality. But when you bring in people of differing viewpoints and differing stories, you get a little bit closer to reality. How's the media doing in giving you a picture of reality when it comes to protests versus riots, when it comes to a pandemic versus racial tension in the United States of America? That's all coming up in just a moment here on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I said we have to balance personal experience against the data. I shared with you the data of the killing of unarmed African-American and white people in this country. But Kenny in San Jose has a problem with my data. What's up, Kenny?
How you doing, Will? Well, my problem is, okay, I am, like I said, black male. I grew up in a suburban area. I have been stopped by the police, I don't know, hundreds of times. I was around that stop and frisk era where they just stopped black men and frisked them. I have been beat up by the police. I've come home with bloody noses, busted lips from being thrown on the ground and stomped. Those are not logged into your data. They don't tell them that they threw me on the ground and beat me up and sent me home. So there are thousands of black men this happened to. And it's not logged into your data, so no one keeps track of that. That doesn't mean it's not police brutality.
All right, Kenny, I want you to stay with me here. I'm going to talk through this with you. I'm going to keep you on the phone lines, all right? You've been listening to The Will Cain Show, it sounds like, since we went on the air about 45 minutes ago. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I think you missed a couple of things in that conversation then. So just walk with me through this, okay? What I said is the data, and I'm not in charge of the data. I'm not trying to spin the data, okay? I'm not trying to take the stats and make them tell a story that it doesn't tell. I'm looking at these through the FBI database, the Washington Post, and others. What the data says, and I'm talking specifically now about the killing of unarmed individuals in the United States, right? So I'm going to repeat that just because I think it was missed the first time around. I'm talking specifically about the killing of unarmed people in the United States of America. Is that when you affect that, when you adjust that for the size of the population, it immediately jumps for African Americans over whites. Meaning, you immediately reveal that African Americans are killed at a greater rate than whites. But then you also have to adjust for rates of criminal rates in that population. And when you do that, it comes back down to about an equal rate. You do here, and I think appropriately, when these cases pop up. And people often say, well, Will, you don't ever hear about this happening with a white individual. You don't ever see that. That's why, because the officers go to jail or it doesn't happen. But that's not true. That's what I'm getting at on that part of the story. I mean, if you want to know specifically, Google Daniel Shaver. Google Tony Tempa. Tony Tempa in Dallas. A white man who died almost exactly in the same way that George Foley did. Now, Kenny, back to you. That does not mean there's not racial bias in law enforcement in the United States of America. That does not mean that your experience isn't real. And what I said in the end, my conclusion is that I believe at lower level interactions, you will see negative experiences between African Americans and the police, and that bridges the gap between the data I just shared with you and the people like yourself or Marcus Spears or Louis Riddick, whose life experience tells a very different story. It's not that your story is not true and not real, but rather what you're describing is exactly what's real. Kenny, that's what I said.
Okay, so, but you're talking about the killings of people and the proportions of them. Just because there's crime in a neighborhood doesn't mean that you need to kill someone to make an arrest, like Dylann Roof. Dylann Roof killed all those people in that church. They took him in. He wasn't harmed. They kill black men all the time. Oh, we thought he had a gun, and they shoot him.
No, but Kenny, what it means is there's going to be a greater police presence. The interactions are going to be more frequent. And if, in fact, violent crime rates are higher in the black neighborhood, and they are, then you're going to have more tension-filled, hair-trigger-type moments than you would in other areas. That's just common sense, right?
But that's part of the job. You're a police officer. That's what you get paid to do. You don't get to murder people because you're afraid.
Of course not.
Yeah, and by the way, because you're afraid. And because you're afraid of
By the way, back
people.
To real quick, Kenny, back to the unity. Everybody agrees when it comes to George Floyd. Do they not? Everybody agrees when it comes to Derek Chauvin. Do they not?
I've never seen anything like this before in my life. This is the first time I've ever seen white people and athletes and everyone. But why this time?
Because
this.
Well, let me ask you, Kenny. Why do you think it is this time?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea why this is the time, because there have been a lot of killings that were heinous, and I don't understand why. But I don't understand why this. Yeah, why is it this time that white people are jumping on the bandwagon, and now it's a big deal? But this has been going on since the 60s. But
well,
now,
I think the reason is
one
this
guy
time.
Killed and well, I think it's because of the virus.
No, I don't think so. In fact, I think we should ask questions about where the virus went all of a sudden, at least when it comes to media coverage. I appreciate the call, Kenny. I think the answer is because the video was so clear. The evidence was so obvious. The facts led everybody in the same direction, as they should. As Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Let us discuss now the media's role. Are they telling the full picture? Riot versus protest, coronavirus versus racial tensions. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Sometimes I wonder if the biggest lie ever told is everybody just wants to have a conversation. Nah. What you really want is everybody shut up and listen to you, right? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I had a conversation with Damian Woody, ESPN football analyst, earlier today. It's an hour-long conversation on everything going on in this country. You go check it out on the Will Cain Show podcast feed. We cover all of the bases. And the reason I bring up the conversation, because I believe in a full picture. I believe you can balance the data, which is real. Doesn't matter how you feel about it, with personal experiences. and you should value both. It discourages me when I hear a caller totally ignore the fact that I said his personal experience is real and only suggest my data, the facts, are not. Look, man, reality is that you have to acknowledge both are at play here. But if you don't want to have a productive conversation, just be real about it. You just want people to listen to you, or you don't want solutions. One of the two is true. I get frustrated with the media because they don't tell us full conversations. They only tell you what you want to hear. Or they distort it. Rioters, protesters. Who are they? What are the percentages? I don't know. Do you know? What images do they focus on? And where did the coronavirus go all of a sudden? I talked about that, by the way, with Damian Woody. Here's a little sample from the podcast. Listen. Here's what I thought. When George Floyd was killed, you know what was striking to me, man? An amazing amount of unity. Like, right, left, white, black. I don't know of any notable person who said or defended Derek Chauvin, the officer. Everybody looked at that and goes, this is awful and this is wrong. But now I see what's going on the streets and I see this country pulling at each other in opposite directions. And I'm like, over the last couple of days, it doesn't feel to me as optimistic as it sounded to you at the beginning of our conversation.
Now, okay, now let me say this right here. Because this is where you got to weed things out. The one thing I tweeted something this morning. I said, stay focused. I just said those two words because what can happen in these instances, there are bad actors out there who is trying to distort the message that needs to be sent across the country. And the media has play a big part in distorting the message as well. You can't get caught up in some of these bad actors out there because there's a critical problem that still needs to be addressed. See, if we get distracted, it takes us off message. It takes us from really moving forward as a country. And so for me, I get frustrated when I watch the media, I don't care, and both sides are doing it, the left and the right, showing all these things about, you know, the looting and all those type of things, when actually there are a lot of people who are stopping these looters, who are protesting peacefully. But a lot of it is the media is projecting a message. And that's what pisses me off because to me, like, they have an obligation. If they truly want things to move forward, then they have an obligation to tell the story of what's going on, not just showing pictures of some of these fools out here who are just in it just to create a disturbance and create more chaos. We have to stay on point. We have to stay on message. We truly want to move forward. We can't get distracted.
You know what else I would like the media to tell me, Damian? Tell me more of who's who. Like, I need to know who's lighting things on fire. I need to know if these are, you know, paid protesters, paid rioters, rather. I need to know if it's anarchist groups. I need to know how much of it is just pent up anger from an issue that many in the black community feel unheard for decades, centuries, in fact. And I need to know how much of it is people out there on the streets who have been unemployed and stuck in their houses for 2 or 3 months and now are looking for outlets for expressions of violence. And I know the truth is, Damian, probably nobody can answer all those questions. But without those answers, it all becomes simplistic and tribal in one group again.
Well, and I think you bring up a great point because the one thing I've noticed is watching coverage from all different angles is there's just been a lack of these news outlets really talking to the people. It's been like correspondents out there reporting, well, talk to the people. Like, literally, put a microphone to these people out here and let them talk and let them tell their story. That's what I want to hear. A lot of times when we see uprisings across the world, the one thing that you'll see correspondents letting the people talk and telling their story. But here it is, we having an uprising in our own country, and you don't even really see that many news outlets with correspondents just going about and just talking to the people about it. It's almost like they're trying to, one way or the other, frame their own agenda, which I just don't appreciate. That's why I said the media can do a much better job of letting the people tell their story.
To hear the rest of my interview with Damian Woody, go check out the entire interview on demand in the Will Cain podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% all their purchases. What's in your wallet? It is fascinating how the coronavirus went from do not go outside and the number one story in half a century to totally non-existent. It really makes you question the legitimacy of the panic prior to this week. What percent were rioters? What are protesters? What are paid anarchists? Oh, I had a guy in New York who was at the protests, and he just hung up. Man. Really quick, Josh in Missouri. You have to go quick, though.
Hey, Will, first time caller. I was just, when you mentioned the coronavirus, I work at a major metropolitan hospital, and we're starting to see numbers go back up. I don't want to get in specific because of my job, but what I'm worrying about, all
gotta be quick, Josh. In fact,
all these protesters and all these rioters, is I see them wearing masks, but I do worry that the coronavirus may spike again, and if it doesn't, then when weather goes to bad again and we're going to see a spike, people aren't going to pay attention to it because of this situation.
All right, Josh, I got to go to a hard commercial break. I don't have control of it. I'll take more of your calls coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.